contacted the jeweler before I got there. She told the jeweler that a little boy's going to walk in and buy a pair of earrings for his mom. He's never going to have enough money. You give that little boy those earrings, and I'll make up the difference. That's a hero. A few weeks ago, my refrigerator spun the leak. No big deal. Some water went into the basement. I call my mom and dad, tell them what's going on. Hey, I got Niagara Falls. It's not the end of the world. $55 will fix it. No big deal. My mom was upset. She was sad. I said, Mom, what are you sad about? I'm cheap. Even I can spend $55 and spend the refrigerator. She said, you don't understand, son. She said, you're my baby. She says, I want everything to be perfect for you. She just said that a few weeks ago. That's a hero. And that's why I'm here in the car. There's another hero in the room. It's my dad. He did everything for my mom. Anything and everything. Whatever she wanted, he did. He had opportunities to travel the world with his job. All different countries. He never went past my mom. My mom never knew that. He never told her. But he was happy to stay around. My mom needed to move out to Arizona for medical reasons, as you heard. It's better for her. She loves the beautiful mountains. And that's why we're putting her there so that she can see the mountains forever. My dad doesn't even like heat. And now he lives in Arizona. That's a hero. You know, last August, I was out here to see my folks. My birthday. My mom was helping me out with this and that. I had no women, no luck with women. Giving me guidance, as usual, advice. And I was out here. And I made another mistake with my mom. I never learned. I went shopping with her again. She asked if I wanted to go, and I was smart this time. I said, well, what store are you going to? I figured if she said a mall, I'm not going. This time, I forget the name of the store. It was very small, so it was like the size of a crowd. It was almost maybe twice the size of where we're all standing. It's small. I'll go. The woman's an oxygen. I can outlast her. 3 hours later, no kidding, 3 hours later, she's still freaking shopping. Two different people came up to her that day. As she's shopping, are you okay? Because she's breathing heavy. She's got the oxygen. She was shopping. After about 3 hours, I said, Mom, I gotta get out of here. I mean, I got no place to go, and I still gotta get out of here, Mom. I don't want to shop anymore. And she's like, all right, we'll go. So we put, God only knows how much stuff in the car. I mean, we have a Lincoln. It doesn't all fit. She just shops. But she was happy. I'd do anything to shop with her right now. But we got back to the house. I see my dad there. I said, Dad, I know you're successful. I know you must have made a lot of money because you have a beautiful house. You even bought Mom's dream house on top of the mountain with a gorgeous view like that. But I said, even Donald Trump can't afford it. Mom, it's impossible. You just can't afford it. I saw that woman spend money like you can't believe. And I'll never forget what my daddy said. He said, it doesn't matter if I can afford it. Dad, I don't understand. You're a numbers guy. You worked on Wall Street your whole life. How could it not matter if you can afford it? I'll never forget what he said. He said, because it makes Mom happy. When my mom passed away, obviously, my dad was there and obviously was upset. And he said something, I don't know if he said it to me, I don't know if he said it to himself. We were all pretty much in shock. What he said was, my best friend is gone,
and I won't be able to take care of her anymore.
That's a hero. His old wife, and all he wants to do is take care of my mom. That's a hero. And all my mom wanted to do was take care of him. And that's the other hero.
You know, when I was a little boy, sure heard I told my mom I'd buy a Corvette. Told my mom I'd become an attorney. Told my mom something else. Told her I'd buy her a house. I had to be second, third grade. I said it one time, but I never forgot it. Maybe I never talked about it again, but I never forgot it. Over the years, and my cheapness, and my coupon books, and my saving, and trying to invest, I tried to get enough money. And I don't want to use this word because it doesn't seem appropriate, but in a way I got lucky. Because about August, about when I was out here, I looked at the bank account. It's not what I would like, but it ain't bad. I could buy a house. I looked at the interest rates. He said, they're low. I looked at the housing market. Bomb. I said, you know what? Let's do it. I called up my mom and dad. Went down there in August talking about it. And he said, Mom and Dad, we told you 30 plus years ago, however long, I was going to buy you a house. But now I have a dilemma. I said, you guys already have your dream house on top of a mountain with a gorgeous view. You guys have owned three houses at one time. The house I buy is not going to beat the house that you have. But I said, I would buy you a house, and that's what I want to do. Because I don't want to look back with regret. I don't want to be a failure. And without hesitating, without flinching, my mom and dad said the same thing. They were very happy. They were very proud. They said, we want you to buy our house. I said, buy your house. I don't understand. I was supposed to buy you a house, not your house. I stuttered, but back then, but that was my objective. And my parents said, no. That's what we want. And I said, but it's 5,000 plus square feet. It's $11,000 in taxes. And I'm going swimming pool. I said, I'm a single guy that lives in the basement, and I haven't gone swimming in years. Why am I going to buy this house? I'm too cheap, and why am I going to do it? And both of them again said, because we want you to be happy. We want you to enjoy life. And we want to be around to watch you enjoy something that we can give you. So here we go again. I hear us. They just keep giving and giving and giving. So I put together the paperwork. I'm an attorney. I work at a law firm that does a lot of real estate stuff. And I sent out the paperwork for my folks to sign. My mom saw the contract, and she's well aware of the house purchase. I was supposed to close at the end of this month. And I promised my mom that I would begin enjoying life. And that's why, as you heard, I bought the pool table. I have a king-size water bed, a second one that I just bought, because I promised my mom that she knew about this. And I haven't picked up any of this stuff. It's still in the store. And as you heard, my mom passed away. So then I had another dilemma. What do I do about the house? What do I do about the pool table? What do I do about any of it? I don't need it. But I remember the promise I made to my mom. I promised her that I would enjoy life. So damn cheap. just enjoying myself. That's what you heard in the message. You saw her. You heard how happy she was. By me buying the pool table, the woman's happy. She doesn't even have to shop. Somebody could shop for her. She's so happy. And I sobbed about that. I sobbed for primarily one reason. I said, what kind of sick son of a bitch son would think about a house when his mom passed away? And I didn't know what to do. But I remembered that tape. I remembered the promise that I made to my mom that I would enjoy life. So I sent a message to my office. And I said, pursuant to a promise I made to my mom, that house purchase will be done. And send me the paperwork in the mail. And from my memory, you probably would say, oh, why now? Why couldn't my mom live 30 more days? Why couldn't we get that house? I've been working on it for 35 years. Couldn't wait 30 more days. My parents' anniversary's coming up. Why now? I'm not very religious. And I said, all right, let's assume I can sit with God. I said, let's assume I can put God's ass in that chair. I'd like to punch him right in the nose and say, you schmuck. What are you doing? You took my mom? As if I'm not problem. And I thought about it, and I don't think God would be mad. I think he would give me what I would deserve, and he would be a smart ass. And he would say, you know what, Chris? You like contracts so much. Here's a contract. He gives me a contract, and in the contract it would say, I'll agree to keep your mom alive for 30 days so that she can watch you buy the house. But you have to agree not to be sorry, not to feel hurt, not to feel anger, not to feel loss, not to feel pain. And I pick up the pen and get ready to sign that contract. And I do what I always do. I renegotiate. I'd say, you know what? Mom's Jewish. Hanukkah's coming. Let her live till Hanukkah. And God would wave his hand, and the contract would be revised, and she could live till the first day of Hanukkah. And then I'd say, you know what? Hanukkah's 8 days. Let her live till the 8th day. Waves his hand. And she looks to be like that. And I said, you know that? She celebrates Christmas. She's got a Christmas tree. Let her live till Christmas. And we revise the contract. Then I said, New Year's. He's like, it's a New Year. And he revised the contract. And I said, well, you can't start the new year like this. Give a little bit more time. After about 10 hours of this agony in my mind, I realized there is no good time. There's never going to be a good time for my mom. I'd love to sit here and bitch and whine and moan and say, why now? But I couldn't come up with any date that I wouldn't feel sorrow or hurt or anger or pain. So then I said, well, let me look back at what mom has done while she was alive. Mom got to see me grow up. Mom got to see me ride my Corvette. I'm an attorney. It's not exactly the way I wanted. She saw me fulfill the promise about the house to buy for her. And she saw me, as you can tell from the message, that I was starting to enjoy life by buying pool tables and things of that nature. So I was happy that my mom was able to see those things. I was able to see my sister grow up. Some of you have known Brenda for many years, some of you haven't. I can assure you, she was a bitch when she was younger. He was a bang in the behind. But she's growing up. And my mom got to see that. My mom got to see Brenda work multiple jobs, finish school. And most importantly, this past August, it was confirmed I saw my sister take care of my mom like I couldn't do. I couldn't do it. I saw her, and of course my dad getting up at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning,
booking approved, you know, oxygen tanks and nebulizers. They didn't flinch. Neither of them. I'm not that strong. I'm not enough to see you draw it. Mom would be very proud. My ass would certainly not lose. My mom got to see my daddy. Go from the projects. Go from poverty. Bedford Stuyvesant. Work his way up. My dad started with cleaning toilets, literally. And he, as you heard, did everything for my mom. And my mom got to see it. My dad even got my mom her dream house on top of a mountain with a beautiful view in Arizona. Every time I talk to my mom, and I would talk to her almost just about every day, every couple of days at least, she would always say what a beautiful sunset, a beautiful house. That house was only built a few months ago, and we moved in a few months ago. Thanks to my daddy, she got it in house. She got it in time. My dad's an angel. I said it for many years. Some of you who have known me know that that's how I refer to my dad. And it's more true today than ever. And let's make no mistake. Some of you know me. I'm not so kind and sweet. Just because it's a funeral doesn't mean I get a good heart. I've already called some people. Called some people back in Jersey. Some kids I grew up with. This is grammar school. They were like second sons to my mom. I told them about my mom. So where are you? My mom's not here. She's dead. I said, I'm really sorry. Can't make it. I said, you know what? Come here. Go fuck yourself. So when I say that he's an angel and he's a hero, my mom is a hero, I want you to know I'm telling you the truth. I don't have anything back. Then I said, okay, I understand that we can't extend the time. I understand that my mom had a pretty good day in life under the circumstances. She really did. She got to see a lot. She traveled a lot. So how's my mom's life going to end on a positive note? If you're already a hero, how do you end with a finale? How do you do it? You're already a hero. My mom did it. Sick as she was, she did it. I'll tell you how she did it. My dad gave me a call. I was at work in New Jersey. He said, Mom's not doing well, or something to that effect. He never finished the sentence. He got too upset. I didn't know what was going on. My mom's been in the hospital 100 times. But for whatever reason, I didn't even jump on the first plane I could get. No luggage, no nothing. I had a friend in the suit. And without me knowing, while I was on my way here, the doctor had told my sister and my dad that Mom was going to pass away any minute. Shut to the doctor to try and keep her alive, keep her alive. The son's on the way. And the doctor said it would be a miracle for her to stay alive in time. Now, I wasn't privy to the conversation, but I asked, I even double checked this. Is that the exact word that he used? And I said, yep, it would be a miracle. And that's what my mom did for me. She performed a miracle. She stayed alive long enough so I could get there in time and say what I had to say. She's a miracle mom. I had another pillow. I can give her that pillow. She's a miracle mom. She truly is. So the last question I had was, how do I remember my mom? How do you remember somebody like that? I had a lot of people say today, very sick woman, very sick. Now, I at least know the answer to this question. I know exactly how she wants to be remembered because a few years ago, maybe 5, 10 years ago, we were on a family vacation.
And his whole family wanted to take pictures. But to take pictures with my mom wasn't always the easiest thing. She'd be hooked up to oxygen. Be in a wheelchair. There's chopping bags, most likely. So every time you had to take a picture, you had to disconnect the oxygen. Move the wheelchair away. She'd hobble over to the right center. We'd have to hurry up, get somebody to take the picture, and then we'd all scramble to crawl back up to the oxygen because she can't breathe. This went on for a while. And you know me, Mr. Compassionate. I said, Mom, what are we doing? Why don't you just stay hooked up to the oxygen? We'll take pictures that way. I know you're in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, no. I don't want to be remembered that way. And so I'm not going to remember my mom that way. And I don't want any of you to remember my mom that way. I want you to remember my mom the way she deserves to be remembered. It's a miracle mom. And it's a hero. That's what you are. I'm grateful to her. And I love her. And I miss her. And I keep my promise for you. And I'll stop being so mean. And I'll start enjoying life. I believe it'll help my mom.